Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Cup podcast. Today, it's just George and I. Ollie has, as you guys, I mean, you guys were all listening last week, I know, and you guys know Ollie's exact travel schedule. He's made his way down under, back to Australia, little holiday, and sort out his visa. So today, it's just George and I in the studio, and George is fresh off a flight, arriving back in Devon around 6 a.m. this morning, I believe. How are we feeling?
I am operating on full gas right now. Yeah. We'll see how I go. Max, maybe 2 hours of sleep. So,
do you try and sleep on the flight, or you just don't even bother?
No, I tried. It was fucking impossible. No upgrade in sight, and
it's also slightly. It's like, how long is it?
It's not long at all.
Yeah, it's not really long.
It was enough. Only like, I think it was like under 6 hours.
Yeah, that's hard.
We got a fat tailwind on the way back. That's about to blow Boulder over today. Maybe that was like part of it. So that was nice. So we landed an hour early. I got in at 5:30 this morning.
Sheesh.
Had time to go home for a coffee and some toast and then straight to practice.
Back into it. That's the way to do it though.
That is. I think you just like pretend you're on normal schedule and just like act like you had a full night of sleep.
And then the tiredness catches up with you later and you just power through for as long as you can.
I think I'm best sleep of my life tonight, I think.
I'm going to enjoy that.
But yeah, I felt shocking off the plane.
Yeah.
But nice to be back in Boulder. Albeit briefly. Yeah.
Wait, you're leaving?
I'm leaving for Christmas. Yeah.
To where?
I know we're going to have to, we need to record ASAP again.
Wait, I didn't know.
Christmas episode.
All right, we got some catching up to do, I guess.
Going to Mexico for Christmas.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Which part of Mexico?
Just a beach, December. It's called Sayulita. I've never been on the Pacific coast, down south-ish. But not as far as like Oaxaca or those places. Maybe it's like kind of middle, actually.
I don't know why I asked that question. I know nothing about the geography of Mexico.
I guess the only like,
I know where Cancun is.
Other side. Cancun's Gulf Coast, right?
Yeah, that's like way over there.
Opposite.
Makes sense.
That's all I got for you. I don't know anything else. Hopefully, well, it's cheaper than Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Hawaii.
Hawaii's insane.
I guess it's the prime tourist destination, right? And getting stuff there it's a pretty secluded island as well, is it not?
Yeah, maybe not super accessible for supplies and the like, but it is crazy. Yeah, I don't know how you live there. It's tough.
Well, unfortunately, I think a lot of the, I don't know if we want to get into this in this episode. I think a lot of the locals, that's exactly the problems that they struggle with. Because they moved to like Seattle, which is obviously one of America's mainland's most expensive cities. And I think there's like cheaper.
Still cheaper.
Yeah.
It's nuts over there.
Tough. But
we'll get into that.
Yeah, we got all the Hawaii to catch up on. We have some other fun stuff. We might give Eurocross a little mention. That course looked really exciting. I don't know if you saw that.
Lots of turns.
And then we have the big grand sham, the grand scam, whatever you want to call it. Finally, the bankruptcy news. I think Ollie's gonna be really sad that he's missing this.
He really is.
We'll have to give this another run when he's back, so he can really let us know how he feels. But the bankruptcy files, the Grand Slam files, have been released, and they're not great. I mean, they're essentially to be expected, but it's happened, and there's some fallout from that, which we will be covering,
breaking down
episodes. So that's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be very fun. Yeah, last week there was. Hey, what other races? Just Hawaii. I swear there was something else this weekend.
No, they shut down all the other races just for you guys. So there's Eurocross, there's Hawaii. I don't think there was any indoor BU.
And that was the week before.
Yeah. There was a lot the week before that we didn't cover because we had too much last week.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Possibly. But
the Michael Langan experience.
Dude. Strap in for that.
It's going to be a wild ride.
It's going to be a fun indoor. Wait, I hope he has outdoors as well. Because why didn't he race cross? I guess, does he not have eligibility?
I don't think he had cross.
Okay, hopefully.
Maybe we get into that at the end.
Yeah.
How Michael Langan takes.
Before we get into the episode, I do have an interesting little shout out here to a woman by the name of Rebecca. And this is because she is the link to Grant's girl. And I have a little story to tell you, George. On Saturday, Cynthia and I went to Drew Hunter's Christmas party, which
I heard that
amazing.
Was an absolute blast.
Dude, he...
Kevin said it went off.
He's just like, Drew is the ultimate host. He goes above and beyond. He's in a tuxedo. He had a mixologist there.
Yeah.
It was
making Christmas cocktails.
It was just very nice. And
I said to miss that.
Yeah, you would have loved it. And there was just so many, like, because now that we're like old and have been in Boulder for long enough, like you just kind of, you knew everyone there, at least.
Just bringing the community together.
No, it was the perfect amount where it's like so many people that you know, but you don't get to see them that often. So you're legitimately like, oh, I'm so happy to see you tonight. So we could like catch up because I haven't been able to see you for so long. But funny story.
Did you get involved in the basement poker?
I didn't do that. I think maybe next year. I asked Cinta and she's like, I don't know how to play poker. Like, but we actually didn't even have a chance because there was just so many people essentially to catch up with upstairs. Maybe next time we'll get into that because that sounded really fun. I like that addition that it was like formal, fancy upstairs and then this underground poker tournament going on, high stakes downstairs. Yeah. But Cinta and I walk in the door. And who's standing there 2 feet away is Grant Fisher and his girlfriend. And I was like, what the hell? What are you doing here? And so I don't want to give away all their personal private information. I wish. But I finally got to meet Grant's girl.
Wow.
And that was so special. Her name, she was really cool. Very, very nice. Her name is Sarah. She lives in Denver now. So that's why they were in the area. Mm. And the reason I have the shout out to Rebecca is because actually her mom is the person who's a fan of the podcast. And she's the who I guess was listening and sent it to her daughter. And it's like, hey, they're talking about like this like bachelor show for Grant, like Grant's girl. I thought you were Grant's girl. And that's how that all ended up playing out.
Oh, wow. That's so good.
Almost 2 years ago now is when that happened because it was around Milrose.
Grant's girl in the flesh.
Yeah.
What a treat.
It was amazing. So yeah, just crazy to like finally have some podcast lore come to life in a form. It was so funny. And yeah, Grant's just, he's still the nicest guy in the world, just chilling. But he's too famous now because like we were trying to talk and everyone wanted to talk with him. Like, and this is a party that has some very accomplished runners, but Grant is just eclipsing everyone. Like it's over the top. So I feel
Polly Brothers is just not from Boulder. So everyone's like, wow.
Yeah, that as well.
New item on the menu.
But who knows? Maybe we can help get him out here to Colorado because, you know, now his girlfriend lives out here. Park City, you know, who wants to live in Park City?
Exactly.
There's no one there.
Yeah. What else have you been up to? How'd the week of training go?
Yeah, it was really good coming off the week before where when we recorded last time, I had literally just come back from the Cayman Islands trip and the half marathon. So last week was a kind of, it was just being back in the routine and getting adjusted to it again. And that was super nice. Like I feel so good now. Last week was like a nice 90 mile week. Week one of four in my 4 week mini build to World Cross. So it was good to tick the boxes there. Just a lot of threshold. Little chill long run. I had to change my schedule. So I had a double threshold on Wednesday and Saturday, if I'm remembering correctly. And then I did a long run on Sunday. And so I was pretty fucked Sunday morning. Cause also the Christmas party was Saturday night. And it was one of those ones where like you don't really eat enough food.
Mm.
So Sunday morning. And then I had a little meeting Sunday morning. So my long run was pushed back a bit. So it was at
tough.
I was at 10:30 in the morning. So by the time I started, luckily I had Cinta on the bike with me and I was doing like an easy 15 miles. Like in the first half an hour, I was like, Cinta,
underfueled.
I'm depleted right now. And I made her go to like on the route, I made her go past the Niwot Market and pick up a bag of chips. And I stopped and had a bag of chips. I was like, this is more important than running continuously right now. So it wasn't my best long run that I've ever had, but got through it. Great week of training and
good. Sometimes you got to make those changes.
Exactly.
And if anyone out there is feeling bad, sometimes it's just because you didn't eat enough.
That's exactly what it was. And now I'm just 2 days later or 3 days later now, I'm feeling good. Had Yesterday, I was telling Joe before, I had a threshold. Well, I called it a threshold plus day, but you could also just call it a dirty threshold day.
What does that look like?
I did 6 minute reps in the morning and then hills in the afternoon, in the evening.
Mm.
Did the classic 2 minute hill reps getting driven back down, six of those, and then 6 by 60 seconds. And on the 2 minute reps, I kept the lactate. I tested after and I was at 3.6. So those were like pretty controlled because it's pretty easy to get your lactate up on a hill. So I had to run really controlled. And then the last six, I let myself rip it a little bit. And then I got up to, especially the last two, I went a lot faster and I got it up to 8.5. So it's good getting some work in, just a small amount.
Nice. It was an easy way to spike the lactate if you want to.
Yeah, they're very good for that. So
without risking too much, without having to run, without having to rip it on the flat.
That's the thing that I always say. It's like 8.5 lactate. If you,
yeah, like, if you did that on the track, you'd have to run pretty fast.
Yeah, you're running hard.
Yeah,
fast
for sure. That's
hills,
like
they do the work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like a 400 meter hill, that's real, or even a 200 meter hill, that's really easy to get it up.
I think that's what the boys did here while we were in Hawaii. They did some longer hills, maybe 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Got the lactate up a bit.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the only time, like at this time of year, hills are like the way to run hard without getting into track work yet. I feel like for a lot of people, at least that's how we've been doing it.
No, I think that's definitely like a good way to do it. Because before you know it, well, it's kind of crazy. It's December. It's past the midway in December already. It's like January's right there. And I don't know what it's like going to be like for you guys this year, but normally January signals the start of like essentially ripping it on the indoor track. That feels real close.
It feels really close. Yeah. I think we have a little intro one on Monday. We just have like threshold 800s, but yeah, the last four just going,
just bridging, I guess, back up.
Yeah. Dirty threshold, I guess. Threshold plus threshold the last plus like few, that. just to bridge the gap before an actual track session.
Yeah.
Which is probably like first week of January.
It's coming. I love it.
That's exciting though. I feel like I've been in a good state of like feeling good about where I'm at with the training in terms of how hard to push and not over the last like month. It's been nice. I feel like I'm more confident than I have been about the like structure of it, which has been nice. Like I felt like I got back in November and I was like, all right, the next month I'm just going to like, patience is just going to be like the name of the game.
Yeah.
And I feel like I underran a lot of stuff like all through November, which felt kind of good. Just like knowing that you don't have to push a bunch of stuff to get fit.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of just came.
Just happens.
And
just let it come to you.
Yeah. All the way up to Hawaii, which was nice.
Yeah.
And I felt like it put me in a good spot.
Yeah. Speaking of Hawaii,
should we cover Hawaii?
Let's do it. How was the trip?
The Merry Mile. Kalakaua. Merry Mile. Hosted by the great Montes and Jim and some other great race directors.
Dude, shout out to them because actually, I don't know why. I didn't realize it was going to be quite like this. But when I flipped on the stream and I saw the field, I'm like, holy fuck, this is like one of the most elite like, fields. Dude,
they put together an outstanding field this year. Yeah, it was amazing. Very impressive. No, they put on an absolutely stunning meet again. It's actually it's really cool. Like we all get put up in a lovely beachfront hotel. We get per diem for the week, which, yeah. So I shouldn't really be complaining about Hawaii prices for food because I mostly got it covered by them.
True.
Very kind of them. And hung out by the beach, went to the North Shore on Thursday, watched some surfing. Friday, hung out a little closer, technical meeting and all those kind of things. Did some pre-meet on the road, got some road strides in. And then Saturday, bright and early. Gun goes off at like 7 something. It's an early start. Pitch black. The sun doesn't come up until like, now I can't remember. It's not, it's like later than it is here, I think.
Really?
No, maybe that doesn't sound right. But it's like, it's almost 7 o'clock, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like 3,000 people run the citizens race, beforehand.
Epic.
Kind of like Fit Dev. Like Fit Dev has waves of runners before and then they just like hang out and watch. So that's kind of how it is here. There's just one race though. I think I was talking about it because KO was running.
Yeah. What happened? Oh, he won?
Yeah. Took down Caleb. Yeah. Caleb defending champ. Caleb Easton.
Big battle.
Yeah. Caleb took it with like 400 to go apparently and KO kicked him down to run like 417 or something, I think.
That.
So the local legend got it done. And so then there's just heaps of people hanging out afterwards to watch the elite race, which is really fun because then they just like line the course. And
yeah, can I say during this time, the stream has already started. They actually do a really good job at covering it. And shout out to everyone who was on the Coffee Club version of the live stream.
Dude, we got a bunch of people on there.
It was great vibes in there. The biggest takeaway is that everyone, I don't know if this has gotten back to your Ollie yet, but there was a lot of talk about trying to get a pair of race-worn socks. So I don't know if you still have those, if you've washed them yet. Hopefully not.
Or they might have just gone through the wash this morning, unfortunately.
It's too bad. Missed opportunity.
I'm trying to think which ones I ran in. Yeah, they probably were pretty gross because it's very humid in Hawaii. And I did a very long workout after the race.
Yeah, but the coverage leading into it is pretty sick. Like they have a full half an hour essentially leading into the race.
The drone footage is sick too.
Yeah.
Right along the beach. And it was actually a beautiful morning. It was supposed to be like rainy and cloudy, but ended up like raining in the afternoon, but was good in the morning. A beautiful sunny morning. Mm-hmm. And so the day before, technical meeting, they just like run through, for anyone who hasn't been, talk about like the gap we got to the women, 31 seconds this year, one less than last year. And they talk about the prize money, which was insane. $10,000.
Oh, yeah, for the overall winner.
For the overall winner.
Yeah, that's big.
Amazing. The same as Richard Diamond League.
Yeah.
So shout out for putting out a huge prize purse. Another 10,000 bonus for the world record, if anyone was so bold.
What was the women's record?
420.
Okay.
She was really close.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. They, I guess one thing against the stream.
Yeah.
The clock was very
brutal.
Very off. It was almost better. It was so off.
Yeah.
Instead of like 1 second off.
I was very confused. It was just not even, at certain points.
It was not even close.
Watching the stream.
So that was unfortunate because it is kind of nice to have the clock, especially on the road marks. Like you don't even know where anyone is, but you can look at the clock and say, okay, 400 to go, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they were chatting paces at the technical meeting, which I think they've just started implementing like maybe last year. I guess we talked about it last week. I was asking Ollie how that worked. And they're throwing around numbers in the meeting, trying to get like a sense of like who wanted to do what.
It's just whoever wants the fastest, right?
Well, see, that's the thing. I think it should be like, there should be like a tier of like who gets to choose this thing. It shouldn't just be whoever wants the lowest number. Like it should be like someone gets some seniority here.
No, I think it's whoever wants the fastest. If there's only one pacer, I think it's whoever wants the fastest pace gets it.
Because that's what happened.
Yeah,
people just started yelling numbers.
Well, because if you think about it, if someone wants it to be fast, then it's essentially on them to go on the pace. And so then everyone else, in theory, gets to go and follow them.
Gets a free ride.
Yeah, in theory.
In theory. So that's pretty much what happened. And they started meeting. They're like, oh, yeah, we've heard someone wants, someone's asking for 155. And in the back, Howie's dad goes, how about 154?
Gee.
And
the roads.
I mean, I'm at least like shaking my head like, what the fuck? Do we come on, can we vote against this somehow? Like, can we start a mutiny?
And bro just like, broke the 600-meter world record. He can do it.
I know, exactly. But also like, dude, go on bloody vacation. And
business.
So they were like, Yared, like, what do you reckon? What do you feel like? And classic Yared's like, whatever. I don't care. So that didn't help.
Yeah, he doesn't mind a fast pace.
Exactly. So I was like, don't ask Yared.
Yeah.
Ask someone else. And so
in that scenario, if they say, George, what about you? What do you think?
Oh, 159.
159. Nice.
Donovan was talking about going down 205.
Yeah, I love that.
Which I was all for. But he was sandbagging. Yeah. He was pretending he was unfit.
Yeah, he looked good.
Yeah, he looked amazing.
He looked really good.
He was full of shit.
I mean, everyone looked really good, to be fair.
Apparently, he's been training about twice a week. So
he's
for Donovan, that's
a big four.
Yeah, that's big four. Probably getting in 15, 20 miles a week.
Yeah.
And then so they were like, all right, doing the math, like what do the women have to run in order to like
have equal?
Yeah. And it was something like 208. So they were like, Nikki, what do you want to run? And they're like, maybe not that. Maybe like 213 or 214. Anyway, I don't even know what happened. I don't even know what the pace ended up being.
For the women, it was I think on the live stream, they said, 213. But then I think that Sinclair went through 212.
I think she went past the pacer at like 600 meters or something.
Yeah. I mean, again, like the clocks were a bit, because I had no idea what you guys actually, because it didn't look like you guys were running 154.
I don't think, there's no way. Like, I think partly.
It looked like you guys were closer to two.
We got out there and it was pretty windy.
Yeah.
Like tailwind on the way out, headwind on the way back. And maybe Josh said, nah, fuck it. Maybe world record's not a go for today. Because he didn't really get on it. Like Abe was a bit ahead of us and Josh was like at the front of the pack, but he definitely wasn't like on Abe's shoulder, like rearing to go. So maybe he just decided that the world record attempt was not.
Maybe he just realized how hard it is to run that fast on a road.
Yeah. And credit to him. He still ran really fast.
Yeah, he still really won. Well.
Yeah, he still was the fastest guy. Ran 3:54, which I think is like the second fastest time ever, maybe, behind Chase.
That's very fast.
I think it's fastest time for a few years. So, actually, yeah, he ran really good still. Mm-hmm. But we just like packed up. The woman, Sinclair, splintered the field. They got after it. And I actually had a great time, which was nice because I enjoyed it last time, but I just felt out of, like it was such a shock to the system that I just felt like the pace was just like another step away from where I was at. And I felt like I ran like the second half on my own last time, like kind of off the back a little bit. Ended up running 4 flat and feeling like, fucking hell, that like felt like I was sprinting the whole way.
Mm.
And this time, like the pace felt very reachable, which was a nice feeling. Like just kind of chilling in a big pack of us. Like the guys' race was really condensed this year. Every single person broke 4. Like I feel like often there's someone running like 4 or 5 or.
Yeah, like what Donovan Brazier claimed.
Yeah, basically what he said he was going to do. Yeah. And yeah, instead he was running 3:59 on the road in December. So dude is fit. And yeah, felt like it went by really. Like suddenly it was like 400 to go and we were all still in a pack. And it was just nice to feel like I was still in the race at that point. And I wasn't just like tapped out and just like...
Yeah.
Going all out to just even to stay in the pack. And Josh and Hobbs made a big move, I think, with kind of 400.
That's what it looked
Josh
like.
Josh must have closed.
Dude, it looked like it was a pack, and then it looked like he just started like sprinting.
He might have gone like 3:54, I feel like. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if that's how the splits actually looked, because they crushed the last 3 or 400. And I medium crushed it.
Good,
just ran hard and got a good effort in, but I felt like maybe there was just like there was a smidge left, which felt like the right way to run it. And what I think I was eighth, six. Well, no, maybe I think I was eighth overall. I don't know what that was for men. I think 3 women still beat me. The girls were crushing this year, but ran a New Zealand record, it turns out.
Oh,
which I found out afterwards, which was mine from 2 years ago. So I guess it does make sense. But yeah, I hadn't thought about that beforehand.
Well done.
I don't know why no one else has been doing it, I guess. Sam has run some on the road, but I don't know if that, maybe the New Zealand one is not eligible yet.
Mm.
Hopefully they get it eligible. I don't know if it's fast or not even. But it was nice to run like, kind of slightly faster, but mostly just the feel of it.
Like what shoes were you
really
in?
Happy with.
I was trying to work out. Were you in Strikes?
No, I wore Echo 3s. The old ones.
I thought that might be it. I was like, there's no way.
We actually all wore different shoes. I wore Echo 3s, Ollie wore Boom 4s, and Yared wore Strikes.
Yared wore Strikes? Mm. I thought he was anti-strike.
So did I. And then he pulled them out, and I was like, what is this?
That's crazy.
I went Echo 3s because they're firmer, and I was like,
Echo 3s is a good choice.
I wasn't sure afterwards, though, if it was.
No.
I was texting Jaime, and I was like, we got to figure out the perfect road march shoe by September. Copenhagen.
True.
World champs.
What do you think the perfect
one
is?
He goes, only if you go for the world record. That's deal.
Do you think it's more like a 99 with some
I
more
think it's
super?
More like a 99 with a full-length plate.
Yeah.
Because I love the 99, but it definitely is made for training.
Yeah.
Like that, but with like a plate or something.
See, I
it's hard to imagine the perfect road march shoe.
I don't think the Echo 3 is a good choice, though, because I do my strides in them sometimes, and I had to stop wearing them because I think they're too good for strides.
Yeah?
Like, I initially wanted to wear them for strides because I wear 99s for so much other stuff that I wanted a shoe that was similar but just different, just to change it up. And I was like, no, I think these shoes are too super still. I think they're like, I'm cheating on my strides a bit too much. I need to go back to fully like non-super shoe for strides.
I think Robert wears them maybe for like 200s.
Yep. I've seen him do that.
Because he likes that like really direct feel.
It's a very good training shoe as well.
Yeah. Yeah. We used to train them a lot. Now they feel so hard compared to everything else we wear. But I also don't know if I ran in strikes, if I would have had like the opposite feeling, being like, oh, these are way too soft to sprint in.
Yeah. That turn.
So maybe the light spray is the one. I actually think the light spray would have been good for like firmness, but I just don't know. I was scared about the corner.
Yeah, that would be
the 180 at top speed in the light spray.
It is a
without testing it. Maybe it would have been fine.
Test some 180 degree turns. Yeah, shoes and training.
I'm hoping Worlds will not be. Worlds will be like round the block, but it won't be 180 degrees.
Worlds, rather than having one 180 degree, will probably have
1290 degrees.
Yeah,
maybe not 12, maybe but it'll be like a bunch of blocks.
It'll probably be like a big block.
Yeah,
that's what it was. I think last time.
But I really want to run Copenhagen Road Mile in September, especially after that. I think it'd be a really fun way to end the year.
I want to be in the 5K there. That's my goal.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Copenhagen. Sounds like an amazing place to go race.
Exactly. I know. Yeah, I'm excited. So, yeah. The year I ran, like 2 years ago, felt bad, ran 4 flat, and was world champ like 2 months later. So
yeah, you were probably in the best shape of your life a month or two after that.
Yeah, I think I was.
At Melrose, like your shape there was pretty crazy.
So I think I'm in a good spot to take on the next like 6 weeks or just like the end of season. I'm really excited for. Like I feel like especially the way I kind of approached the four, but I think the guys were really sensible this year. Like in taking things pretty slow. Like once I got to 300 meters, that was the fastest 300 to a mile I'd run since Worlds. Like we've done some 200s faster than that. Like we run a bunch of 28s, 27 200s just all year round. It's just like speed economy. Like that's just always going to be good for you. But we've done nothing over that, over that distance. So, it thought it could have been a bigger shock to the system than it was. And so to feel pretty comfy doing that, is exciting. And then
you tell us about that workout.
And then did
what
some,
was it?
We just did some Ks.
Oh, nice.
On the track. Nico and Hobbs hopped in and then we got kicked off the track.
Really?
Yeah. It's actually really annoying. That's like the one thing, actually my one suggestion for the meet is like track access needs to be like part of the Hawaii Mile.
Just because almost for the hour after.
Almost every single person is trying to work out afterwards. Like this is the time of year that like the workout is almost more important than the race. Like everyone is training right now. Mm-hmm. And so like most of the people are working out in some capacity afterwards, whether it's on the dirt track there. Some people just stayed around the park and did some road loops. I was seeing some people doing some tempo stuff. We tried to go to a real track. We got through 6Ks and then me and Ollie got kicked off and we just finished them on the canal. But nothing too crazy.
Fair enough.
And then, yeah, a couple of days hanging out, and now back in Boulder to get the rest of the year going. I'm very excited for indoors now. I missed it last year.
Yeah. Indoors is fun. I'm probably not doing any indoors, so I'm trying to not get too excited about it, but indoors
okay,
is very
sorry,
fun.
Sorry, sorry.
No, you, I'll live vicariously.
I feel like you get a BU 5K or something.
Maybe. I just don't
indoors
know,
indoors is long. Indoors is 3 months away still.
True.
Or 2 weeks away if you want it to be.
It kind of depends if I am racing the 10K.
Yeah.
Or if I'm trying to go all in on the 5K. That's kind of what Nico
was saying, the same thing.
Yeah.
Just indoors.
We've got to figure out.
Dang 10 at San Juan Capistrano just really throws a wrench in the indoor season.
It's kind of like annoying time, but also it's like kind of perfect timing as well.
It is.
It is actually a really good time to race
the 10K. Time you get to run a 10K
so,
easily.
Yeah, you can't really complain, but
there's a reason they run 26:30 then.
Yeah.
And whatever Jimmy ran at Worlds, 29 something,
yeah,
or 28 something.
Yeah. Like you want to, I guess you just want to do it all when you can. So,
yeah.
You know what I just found out today, which is kind of crazy? This is such a random aside because I was just thinking about World Indoors. So there's World Indoors next year.
Correct.
And that's next year is 2026. So then there'll be World Indoors again in.
Yeah, that's actually correct. 2026 is the right year for it to be.
Yeah. But you know what's weird? So there's World Cross also next year, which is the wrong year for it to be.
Yeah, I feel like World Cross and World Indoors are supposed to be up.
So World Cross apparently is meant to be on odd years, but then for some undisclosed reason, they're skipping 2027 World Cross. So after this World Cross, it's not going to be until 2029. Isn't it?
So 2026, January.
Yeah.
And then 2029.
Exactly. Isn't that kind of
wild?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they're skipping 2027. Maybe, I mean, that's a lot of time, so maybe it'll
Did they just
change.
Have like three in a row?
Yeah.
So then they're skipping.
There's no reason to ever skip it unless like no one can really host it financially. Like, fuck, it used to be every year.
Did it?
Yeah, back in the day. Not that long ago, to be fair.
It makes sense that World Indoors is even years, cross, similar time of year, odd years.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it all comes
down to European cross is every year though, right?
That is. Yeah, that's just every single year.
Huh.
Which is cool because it just caps off, like for them it just caps, and it's always, I think, in December. So for them it caps off a good like cross season that they have over there. So I guess I don't think we'll cover Eurocross too much, but did you watch any of the clips from it at all? Did you see
just
anything?
Jimmy
the finish
stumbling before the line?
Okay.
Then looking so sad.
This is the only thing that I wanted to ask. So Thierry, I think that's how you say his name, got the win, and he's an amazing runner. He's so good. Like
he is.
He's so good. But like
he's always been good at cross too.
They were saying it was an upset, and that's because Jimmy is the current World and Diamond League champion. So I guess technically it is, but if you know cross, you know you're cross, it's actually not really that big of an upset, I would say.
Small upset.
But okay. Do you think that Jimmy like actually stumbled? I think that was him like giving up. Cause he knew that Thierry had the better line. And it was a really short in between that turn and the finish.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was him just like being a bit dramatic. That was my take on it. But everyone was saying that he stumbled.
It was very dramatic either way. And then his like jog to the line, like looking around, looking all mad.
Yeah. I guess we'll never know.
Maybe he was just going so hard that he stumbled. I don't know. But I'm going to ask him about it one day.
Yeah. When I see him in Tallahassee.
True. Mid-race, you can ask him.
Yeah.
You'll have to ask him in French, though.
True. Dude, did I tell you about when I tried to speak to him in English one time and make a joke and he just didn't work? No English. No English at all.
I just chatted to him through Mike Foppen.
My translator.
Nice. Yeah.
That's good.
But yeah, he's funny, though.
But also Eurocross the race was, I think it was like 17 or 18 minutes. So I don't know what the distance was, but it was quite short. I could be
wrong.
Do
they only do
a
6K?
I think they can just do whatever the fuck they want. It's definitely not always that short. I think
it's a random distance.
I might be wrong on that. So let's just move on because I don't know. I don't want to be wrong.
Okay.
But, yeah, Eurocross. It was cool. It looked cool. It looked very pretty. I think there was a lot of complaints about the course because it was really narrow and like windy turns, but it looked sick. So good on you, Portugal, for hosting that. But I think it's now I think we can start getting into all this Grand Slam news because there are quite a few layers to unpack. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, the big thing, we haven't talked. So Grand Slam has been sliding downhill ever since they canceled their LA meet, and it's not looked good. I mean, there's been a couple of moments, a couple of glimmers of hope, but things have been going in this direction, and it seems like essentially the final nail in the coffin has occurred in this past week as the bankruptcy files have been, I don't know the legal terms for all this stuff, but have been, I don't know, they're public, they've been processed or whatever, and so
That was scary.
Yeah, I don't know what that noise was.
Don't you file for bankruptcy?
Yeah, I guess I mean filed. Maybe that's the correct term.
Because like, what company just filed for bankruptcy but is like still operating?
Well,
because you can
Grand Slam is one of them. Because that's what I was going to say is the weird thing is they still, to this day, their statements are along the lines of we're filing for bankruptcy so that we can best reorganize our finances to look forward to long-term success.
I think that is like what bankruptcy is, just like a legal term for like some fucking financial shit. I don't know. But it doesn't mean like...
No, it doesn't mean the company's like, done for life.
Yeah.
But in the context of Grand Slam, it probably does mean they're done for life. Because who is going to... Let's say it's a different company, maybe in a different business, it could make more sense that you could file for bankruptcy and it actually would be a vehicle for financial gain in the future. For Grand Slam, who the fuck is going to sign with them now? You know, after they owe all this money to athletes and it's not going to ever be paid. They've accrued so much bad will, so much poor negative branding at this point that I think it's not going to happen.
They're in a tough spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened to the thing where there was speculation that athletes were going to like legally owe money back?
I think that's technically where they're at right now.
Because like the athletes are just at the bottom of the priority list in terms of like paying out creditors or something.
Yeah, so I guess the simple explanation of that is that in the bankruptcy, they're meant to have, for like whatever money they're paid out, I guess they're meant to evenly distribute it across all their different vendors. And I suppose they paid athletes before they had paid some of their other vendors. So technically they're meant to pay them all an equal amount or something like that. That's probably a gross oversimplification.
So should we just go through some of the amounts owed to these companies?
Yeah.
Who wants to pull it up? I pull it up?
Yeah, you got it. The highest athlete is Sydney McLaughlin.
It's crazy that's public, actually.
Yeah.
I guess that's what it means to file for bankruptcy. Does everything just get like...
I guess, like a public company, yeah.
It's literally like...
It's in the law. It's in the...
The files are being released.
This is America, you
this
know?
This and the Epstein files coming out together.
This is, yeah.
That's next week, I think.
I think it's Friday.
Oh, yeah, I think that is this week.
Yeah.
That'll be next podcast.
I hope not. Sydney, a lot of money.
Sydney, a lot of money.
Gabby Thomas, a lot of money.
Josh
Kerr, a lot of money.
Amazing what broadcasting costs, eh?
Yeah, it makes you wonder.
And you'd think that's why you need such a big TV deal to cover the cost of fucking...
That's why you need
TV.
Advertisers.
$3 million owed to the main broadcast company, the production company, some British company.
Yeah.
Another... I don't know what this next one is. Live events, $1.2 million.
Probably the event production company.
The graphics.
The graphics.
This is what me and Morg were talking about before the podcast. If anyone remembers watching Grand Slam,
they were pretty.
And they were like, there was that little track symbol and it had like speeds between each athlete and everything.
Yeah.
There was a lot to take in.
You got to pay for that.
On the screen. It was like a casino thing that was just like
it was a bit overstimulating at times.
They owe those guys $700,000.
It's a lot of money. A lot of money to spend on graphics, guys.
This is before we've got to any of the athletes. This is in descending order. Some production communications company, another $500,000. Not sure what they do. followed by Sydney, number 1, 2, 3, for the fifth in the list at $350,000.
It's a lot of money to be owed as an athlete.
That's pretty crazy, eh?
Yeah, that's a lot of, as like a track and field athlete, just conceptualizing that you're owed 350.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're never going to probably get it.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I mean, which is obvious, is that the athletes that are owed the most are also, they're also making the most already, but it is still track and field. It's not like they're golfers or tennis players or footballers making hundreds of millions.
And it's money that they were promised.
Yeah.
They signed contracts to get paid that. Like they
Hopefully they didn't spend it already.
Maybe they have.
For their sakes. Some other, lots of legal services.
Those are going up right now.
Yeah. That one's probably going up still.
It's going to be at the top soon.
500 in marketing. And then Citrus.
That's the big one that a lot of people are talking about.
That's quite high on the list. Higher than every athlete other than Sydney.
What's their number?
272,915.
That could have been us. That could have been our deal.
Yeah. I don't see Coffee Club on here, actually.
Yeah.
Can't remember what our contract was.
No, we got paid in full. We're good.
That's a lot. That's actually a lot of money.
It is. It's a shit ton of money. And yeah, so they're copping it online right now. We were talking about it a bit before because people are feeling like a media company should not be taking so much money from an event that they are covering. But we're going to break down why it actually does make sense.
I think people are offended because they're used to seeing Citrus post about anything and everything, assuming that it's all equal. Like, Citrus will post results from this marathon and this race and give it a graphic.
Or if like a drug.
NCAA's.
Cheat gets announced.
News.
They post everything. And so they post a lot of stuff that looks like news. No, they post a lot of stuff that is news. And they post a lot of stuff that looks like journalism. And so people, I think, as George is saying, are offended that they have been lied to because, you know, journalism, you know, normally it's meant to be impartial. You wouldn't be taking money from something that you're covering. However, we have some bad news for you guys. They're not journalists. They're a media company. And people are saying that they should have announced that they had this partnership. Like they weren't like at the forthcoming enough with that information. But guys, come on. If you, I guess not everybody knows how the money works in this world from a media standpoint. So there are some fundamental lessons that we have to maybe explain it. But go on Citrus Mag, and look at all their posts and look at them announcing a bunch of NIL deals. Look at them.
I think I unfollowed Citrus during the high school New Balance Nationals thing.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, they're getting paid by New Balance to post every single damn athlete this, you know, thing.
Go back to the early days of Grand Slam, and they had a very specific rollout where on Citrus Mag, they would post when every single athlete signed. Do you remember that? They would announce.
Oh, they were like the announcement platform, right?
Yeah. So
apart from us.
Yeah, apart from us. So if you take your mind back to that time, it was very obvious that they were getting paid to make all those posts. You would imagine. So the fact that
I can see it from both sides.
Yeah.
If you just like follow Citrus loosely and just like, I don't know, and you don't overthink it,
mm-hmm.
or you're not as in the sport as much, I can see how you would just think that it's normal for them to be.
Yeah, they're just covering news.
But and so I can see it both ways. I see why people are offended, but I also think that they have, I guess, a right to do what they did, operate how they did.
Yeah, no.
But don't be that offended. They didn't get paid anyway.
Yeah, don't worry. They got screwed. They did all this work for nothing. So it's fine. You know, everyone wins.
Everyone loses mostly.
Yeah.
If you were mad at them, you kind of won, if you want to look at it like that.
Exactly. That's a great spin on it. But it's just like, I think what happens here is Citrus Mag always You know, yeah, they're not a journalist, but they are like the good guys. That's kind of how they position themselves, and they position themselves like best friends with like all this different stuff, like inside. And so whenever you have a entity that positions themselves like that, people are ready to come at you with pitchforks if there's any sniff of, you know, misconduct. And that's unfortunately the branding that Citrus Mag has. Like, people would tear them apart for anything that feels like a violation of like the trust that they've given them, because they try to seem like this super trustworthy entity, but they're not. They're a company just like everyone else, just like, you know, us, super money hungry we are. Maybe they're a little more money hungry, but yeah, they're just another company, guys. So they're trying to get paid.
Freaking capitalists.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's like a classic, like, you know, finding out Santa isn't real type disillusionment. It's like, yeah, guys, they're go on their Instagram and like look at their posts, and like most of them are probably someone's paying for them. It's sad.
Not covering the sport for free.
That's the reality.
And is anyone though? Money.
We kind of are.
Yeah, actually.
Like we make some money, but we don't make very much for the amount of coverage that we give it. I don't know, like
we didn't make the top 20 list, I tell you that much.
Yeah, we're sitting at 21. I mean, there definitely are a lot of people out there who are very like independent journalists who, I mean, everyone still has to find, if they're going to do it as a job, they still have to find a way to make money through advertising or through memberships, subscriptions. If you make money through like memberships and subscriptions and advertising and you're like a real journalist, that is, I guess, a different thing to how Citrus makes money as a media company doing a lot of paid advertising. It's like they're just doing a lot of paid advertising. That's literally what their business model is. And yeah, I agree with you, Joyce. I can see both ways, because it's like, yeah, like maybe it's not the sexiest thing to like to admit that. Be like, yeah, like we do a lot of paid advertising. That's how we make money. But it is like a thing that has to exist in the sport, you know? Otherwise, like, where else are you going to get all these beautiful graphics all over your feed to announce all these NIL, super important NIL deals?
Exactly.
It has to be somewhere. And this is where it exists.
A few below Citrus, 16th highest owed athlete, America's very own Josh Kerr.
Yeah.
At $218,750.
It's a lot of money. I do feel for these people. You know, can I go on a bit of a rant? Is that all right?
I'm not going to stop you.
I'm so... This was the opportunity. Well, you know what? The end of the rant, I'll get back to this. But
yeah,
I think
tell me what the fallback do you think is going to be?
I think they're done. And I think there's
what about
a chance...
other ones, though? Is everything done?
I think there's a chance that Atlos? Is it Atlos or Aflos?
I think there's an H in there.
Aflos. I think they're going to come on top, because this is my thing. So... this is why I'm so pissed at Grand Slam, and I don't know. I'm not pissed at all of them. We got to shout out like someone like Kyle Merber. Like, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. Like, he's trying to do his best. He's someone who loves the sport, and he's trying to do the best. As he was an athlete manager, like that was his job. And like, look at the athletes that he signed. Fucking like amazing athletes. I'm pissed at some other people.
Yeah, go.
I'm pissed.
And give me your top three reasons you think it went wrong.
Okay, so this is the whole thing. I think that they went way too deep into short-term gains. And I don't know why, because think about this. There's something that's happening in America in 3 years, about, and it depends how you count years. And it's going to be the biggest free advertising that you would get as this league. You couldn't even pay for how good advertising the LA Olympics should be for a league like this. Like, that's like a dream come true. Everything about this league should have been with a long-term view of surrounding LA Olympics, because that's going to have such a big impact on track and field in this country. And there is no real competition from the Diamond League in America. Like, you could be the track. It's right there for the taking to be the track league in America. Everything should have been so much more long-term, like not over-promising and getting distracted by these big fucking paychecks and all this stuff that they spent so much time shoving in our faces. And it was so over the top and so annoying. And it's come back to bite them in the ass so hard. Everything should have started off. This is why I do give like Aflos credit. It's like, they're like, okay, we just did like one meet this year. Let's start there. and let's build. Let's try to do something that is actually repeatable and can be consistent, because it should be growing every year up until 2028, because the amount of coverage that track and field is going to have in this country is never going to be higher than LA 28 potentially. And that is going to have a ripple effect through all of us. Every single person that's involved in the sport is going to benefit massively from that. And the league should have benefited massively from that. So if they had had a much more longer term, slow rollout, more chill, not tried to go so over the top with all this flashy stuff. And let's say, even if they'd done one league in the, just give people one meet, sorry, in the first year and give people like a little taster, you know, and then you did two meets or up to four meets the next year, like just long term, guys, I don't see how it's possible. Like, I don't see how it's possible for them to fail so quickly. I in my head, when you have in mind that this Olympics is happening in 28 in the same country, you should have these, everything should be planned out long term. You should be okay with losing literally millions of dollars in the first year. Like, you should be setting yourself up for that long term goal. And I don't know where that went wrong exactly. Like, we're not there at these business meetings and stuff, but...
Well, they were okay with losing them. That part, that's the part they nailed, actually.
Like, I don't know how they possibly set themselves up to lose so much money so quickly. It seems like it must be so short-term. Like, a normal investing timeline in a company is 5 to 10 years. Like, it's not weird in the world of, in this capital country, for investors to wait to get returns. I don't know what they were promising, what MJ was promising, that people were, they were pulling out so quickly, but they jumped so far ahead of the gun.
Yeah.
And they screwed it. And now they screwed it for probably a lot of other leagues. Athlos works because it's backed by a freaking billionaire who can, like, he can just do things the way he wants, you know? And he doesn't have, but dude, that's my big rant, is like, it should have been all about the Olympics, biggest free advertising you get in this country. It shouldn't have been that, like, obviously it's going to be complicated and it's going to be hard, but it's actually not in some ways. Like, track meets exist. It's a proven, it's like, I mean, you guys are doing it different in a cool way. And yeah, like, I think you could point at some of the events that they chose as reasons, but why it failed. But I think they went too hard too early, essentially. And it's so sad because, yeah, it could have been something long-term. And now it's not. And it just makes it harder for something else to do that.
Yeah, they said go big or go home. And they didn't go big. It will be interesting to see what's the next attempt by someone to, like, break into the track meet world in terms of shaking things up a bit. Like an Athlos or something. Yeah. And
well, yeah, I mean, Athlos is doing it.
They are, yeah. And on a smaller, much more manageable scale, like you said. And it seems like, yeah, something as big as this might just never happen again in terms of money thrown around, numbers, this many meets, they're going to be this big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think they fucked it early.
The hubris. I think
as soon as that... Like, I turned on the stream in Jamaica.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit. This does not look good.
And people were so happy to tear them down because of the way they had set it up.
Yeah.
Like,
they ruffled a lot of feathers by the way they set it up.
Yeah.
So there were definitely people looking for it to fail. Mate, the whole field event community, for one.
Them, for one. But also just... I think the amount of dollar sign stuff.
Yeah.
So.
They also just didn't need to go that far above on the dollar signs. Like, the bar is set, like, not that high.
No.
If you just, like, clear the bar, yeah, you'd be making a point. They said, like, let's just absolutely obliterate it.
Especially with the appearance fees that they were also offering all these big athletes anyway. Like, if you offer... Some of these athletes, those sizable appearance fees, you don't need to offer that high prize money. Or, like, you can go either way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I believe Athlos goes kind of more the other way. Where I think they have massive prize money. Do they not?
And I think, like, yeah, 60 grand.
Like,
or
crazy
something.
Prize money. But the I don't know. They probably still have okay appearance fees, I would imagine, but they go more that other way.
Mm. Yeah. What do you think Diamond League is? I guess World Athletics. You think World Athletics is...
There's definitely a lot of people there that are really feeling like happy about themselves. Like, yeah, it's not that easy. Because, yeah, Michael, like those would be a lot of the feathers that they ruffled as well. And they'd be like, guys, it's not as easy as you thought.
Yeah.
Classic like America, like throwing money at it, trying to make it happen type deal.
True.
Right, so, but it's World
now,
Athletics.
Now the Diamond League's like, all right, we'll just leave the prize money what yeah, it is.
We'll
for another year, it'll just stay where it is.
Yeah. Technically, World Athletics should be really supporting anything that helps the sport grow, but obviously they're...
They were in...
Yeah.
In interviews, they were.
But they
Sib
had... They,
was,
they,
Sib was very diplomatic.
They must have some conflict interest with, like, specifically having the Diamond League to succeed more, right? Like, they own the Diamond League, don't they? Or...
Yeah. So, Diamond League is like part of World Athletics.
Yeah. So there is like
whatever capacity that is.
Some stuff going on there. But yeah.
But they have somehow they've got the Diamond League figured out. The Diamond League's fucking amazing every year.
Well, the Diamond League works because the meets work themselves outside of the league.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Did you see that Mondo said he's going to London and the ticket sales went up by 1,200% or something?
Wow.
It's going to be like, maybe he went last year as well. But I think there is something to be said for having field events at Dragon Field. For some reason, it works.
Especially, I think London, I think they really appreciate athletics as a whole there. Actually, a lot of these meets do, you know. A lot of the countries do. Like, for example, when I go race at Zagreb, most of the people are there to see the discus throw, I think, because there's a really good Croatian women in the discus.
Well, that's what we're talking to Aisha about on the pod a couple weeks ago. A big part of the reason why Ultimate Champs got, like, they don't have men's shot put for one, or men's steeplechase. Like, men's shot put is maybe, like, you would think the biggest throwing event in men's track and field right now in terms of names.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently hammer throw in Hungary is like just like the most popular.
So they're going to have to.
So they had a bit of discretion in terms of what events they wanted based on the country.
Field events is a tough one because, I mean, it's the same as track events where obviously some of the events hit really hard, but a lot don't. And it's the same. It's the mm-hmm. same on the track as well. Like,
definitely.
It's the reality of our sport, and is why it is really hard to package it correctly to make it work for everyone. And yeah, that's always going to be a challenge of our sport. And that's why like a marathon works really well, because it doesn't, the packaging is, there's nothing to it. Or cross country is the same, you know? You don't have to factor in all these different complicated things. And
yeah, but I think that's what we have to be in some ways grateful for in the sport, is that the Diamond League is, I feel like, more popular than it's ever been. And marathoning is also like more popular than it's ever been. Like marathon signups around the world, like in the US. Just absolutely insane.
I think we exist in this sport. We're very lucky to exist in this time in this sport, because I think it was a lot harder at certain times to make it. I would like a time machine to go back to maybe the 80s, because you know, and that's kind of when they call it like the golden era of athletics.
Yeah.
Especially like the UK and stuff, like when they had like Sebco, like Ovett, Cram. Apparently that was fucking crazy back then.
Yeah.
So I like, in terms of like, I think they were like, you know, in the newspaper like every week. And I think in our countries of Australia and New Zealand as well, that was the same thing. Cause that's when our countrymen were literally like setting world records and stuff in the events that we did do. So
true.
I would like a time machine just to experience that. But I do agree with you that it seems like overall, this is an amazing time to be part of the sport. And we're very lucky for that. And just got to keep finding ways to keep growing, but not
like that.
Not like that. Sebco also said that they're reviewing the process of the athlete of the year stuff because it got so much backlash.
Oh, yeah, those awards are rubbish.
We mentioned Chibet last week, I think it was, but we didn't even mention Melissa Jefferson, who I think got three gold medals or something crazy.
I think she got three golds.
And she wasn't a finalist. Femke Bol was a finalist over her.
That doesn't make any sense.
That's not very important. But The Grand Slam, I think, in history will go down as... Do you like Grand Sham or Grand Scam? You like Grand Scam?
I like Grand Scam better.
Scam sounds right, considering how much money they owe.
Yeah.
I think that sounds right. I wonder if anyone actually like made good money from it. Probably not. Probably everyone involved lost. I think that is why, another reason why people feel a bit betrayed seeing like, sorry, this is back to like the Citrus Mag stuff, is because then you realize like if it had succeeded, they probably would have got paid so much money like across like the next like, because they probably would have just got paid more money each year.
Had it been successful.
Yeah. Which I don't know. That's not really, it's just, that's just essentially, I think it's a revealing of like how the sausage gets made type scenario. You know what I mean? You don't want to see how the sausage gets made. That's how it gets made. You pay these media companies to advertise for you. It's paid advertising.
I haven't heard that one in a while.
And yeah, we're still waiting for our call up. Well, wouldn't that be hilarious if they do try to come back and we sign up with them as one of their media outlets? Be worth it just for the memes.
Yeah.
I got to check in on Yara to see how he's doing. He's probably 21 on that list. If he's not in the top 20,
he can't have been far down that list.
He's also owed a lot of money. A couple of people mentioned how smart Jakob looks, because I think Jakob had a statement that was literally like, I'm going to see how the first year goes and then I'll think about if I want to do it or not. Dude, I think initially, like at the time when he said it, it was pretty early. So
he looks like a genius.
People are like, yep, well done to you, sir.
Well done, Jingy.
Good move. If it seems too good to be true, I guess it often is. That's what they always say.
Ollie doubted it from the beginning.
He was on it. He knew. He had a sniff. He knew that it wasn't going to work out. But yeah.
Well, normally we cover BU meets so closely because there's so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about Michael Langan's run?
Second place, 13.05.
Actually, how do you feel about Michael Langan's interview? That was way more exciting.
Yeah, I didn't watch his interview. I heard about his interview, about him calling out Brian Massau or something for not racing for some reason. Michael Langdon is just, the race, my take on that was like, holy shit, these guys are running 13.05 right now. That's fucking crazy. I don't think people like appreciate how fast that is to be running right now. It just continues to get wild. Michael Langdon is just, he's electric in an interview. He's like, you watch it and like, you're a little bit concerned, but you're very entertained.
In my mind, that's Diodora's best investment in the last, like, I haven't thought about...
Amazing pickup.
I haven't thought about Diodora in I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
Now, all over.
Great pickup by them. He's I don't know if that was the brand like that they were going for, but it's what they got.
Yeah.
And it gets clicks, it gets people watching. Ever since his first famous interview that blew up, I think it was after NCAAs, where he said that he's running to support his family, which like maybe that is true, but it's just the passion and just the things that he
the
would
confidence
say.
Is so.
And then the he goes and races. Yeah. He matches it with his racing as well, which is pretty awesome.
And he lays it out there too.
Yeah.
He goes all in. So, and
he'll be a fan. He's a fan favorite already.
Did you see what Diodora was also offering?
I saw the thing about the sub-4. What is it?
The first high schooler guy and high schooler girl to break 4 or 4:35 in Diodora spikes gets a $40,000 NIL.
$40,000?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's dude, no shit marketing. I would buy a pair of Diodora spikes if I was in high school. I mean, like as long as I was like, in the maybe
it doesn't
four
matter.
Or five
I'd still
runner.
Be, I'd still be going for it.
Everyone's going to be in Diodora spikes. It's genius.
Yeah, that's legendary.
40 grand?
That's a lot of money.
For high schoolers break 4 every year. Like someone's getting that.
It's going to happen.
And a girl. I don't know what girls normally run.
They can definitely run that. But they have to be very fast. But
Diodora's crushing.
Good for them. Like a brand that we didn't even like remember existed. Especially not in running.
No. Do you think they have are they Italian?
Yeah.
Do they have a US office?
They must. It's probably at Marco's house in New Jersey. probably just out of his basement.
It's actually him.
Yeah. He is their whole.
He's paying himself.
North America. Yeah. No, I mean, I didn't watch. What was the interview like?
It was just ridiculous.
Say?
He was just saying how he's going to be on March. He had the date in his whatever NCAAs.
NCAA does.
Yeah. On that date in March, he's going to be the best. And I don't know. Everyone else can come race him or something. Dude. And he was calling people out for dodging. And then he said something about Gary's fat ass. He literally in the race that he was like trying to get around. It was just ridiculous.
Dude, it's either gonna go really well for him or like it's not. It's like it's gonna all gonna blow up at some point. You know what I mean? Like it could be a situation, a classic end of Blade Runner situation, like the light that burns twice as bright burns twice as fast, half as long.
Oh.
I don't know the Blade Runner quote.
I think something like that makes sense.
Yeah. It could be that situation.
I'm getting it.
But, dude, well, as a fan of the sport, hell yeah, let's get more crazy people from the East Coast involved.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait for the rest of the indoor season.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, is there anything else that we haven't covered yet today? We're meant to do it last week, but we didn't. Got to give a big shout out to Sam Ruth. So we didn't cover. We talked about him pre-podcast last week, I think, but on the podcast, he had just come off his. What was his
Kiwi double? Sam Ruth, 16 now, ripe old age of 16, at New Zealand secondary schools, basically high school nationals in New Zealand. Did a ridiculous double of 3:38 and 1:46 on consecutive days, both like under 17, 18, 19, and 20 New Zealand records, I think. There was like so many numbers with a U in front of it. Man. I think it was all the way up to under 20 records in both those events. Both from, like it was nationals, so they were both solo from the front.
Yeah, real which is also races.
In the middle of the day, because that's how you do high school nationals.
Yeah, it's always windy.
It was on my home track.
Oh,
so
it's
definitely windy.
It's not windy fast there. At all.
So, dude's crushing.
Yeah. Yeah. These kids making us feel real old.
I wonder, like, that must just get so hard to, like, space out at some point. How you're looking for, you're like, oh, I've already run 1:46. How am I going to?
Yeah, it almost like is cruel to him because then you're thrust into the spotlight with so much pressure and it's like, yeah, what do you
do next?
Hope
he handles pressure well.
Because most 16-year-olds, you just race like every weekend or second weekend and you just run like, it doesn't matter what you do when you're 16 essentially.
Yeah. Hopefully he still operates like that and just does random races.
Yeah.
Like I wonder if he is trying to, what if he's trying to like qualify for? Is he going to Com Games age like 16?
Dude. The thing is,
it's insane.
He does seem like that type of guy, right? I would say. He seems like these young guys seem, it's almost like Cam Martin. Like they get real professional, real young, some of them.
I guess this is what Cam kind of looked like. He was like a 3:38 guy, and then all of a sudden he was 3:29 guy.
Yeah, because at that age, you can get 8 seconds quicker in a year.
Yeah.
And it's not that crazy.
So we'll see if he's on that Cam Myers trajectory.
Yeah. That'd be wild, but good on you, Sam.
Yeah,
Ruth.
Well done down there. The Sams.
Yeah.
Just dominating New Zealand track down there.
They really are. It's awesome to see. Lots of excitement. But yeah, guys, that's it's just been a nice little George and Morgan episode for episode 211 of the pod. I don't think I said that at the start. Ticking off the numbers. Please let us know in the comments what you guys think about the Grand Scam, because we know that you guys... as fans of the sport, we'll have a lot to say about it as well, and your takes on all the different things. It's very entertaining to read. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the show. This has been the Coffee Club Podcast, episode 211, and we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. See ya.